and I would like to briefly apologise for the mispronounced small words of Old English that show up at one point in time. Right. Oh, it's called Sexual History. "It wasn't rape," my mother said years later. "You were both too young." "Hmm." I nodded. Luke is my cousin. We are playing Ninja Turtles like we always do. And I am April O'Neill, like I always am. I like being April because she's smart, because she always gets the story. Luke has tied me up with the handcuffs from his My Pet Monster. He is Raphael come to rescue me. Shredder is getting closer. He unzips his trousers and takes out his willy. His willy, not penis nor cock. I have not learnt those words yet. He wants to rub it against my tushy, the Austrian word our grandmother makes us use. It hurts, but I smile. We're learning politeness at school. And Luke knows more than me. He has seen 4 18-rated movies, even though he won't be old enough for another 10 years. Do you like it? Mrs. Monday says that if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. I remain silent. Afterwards, I'm sore and my stomach aches. I'm sick in the car on the way home. Easter Monday cream egg all over the armrest of my mother's green Vauxhall Cavalier. My brother starts to cry. He hates watching people be sick. My mum sighs and turns to Dad. "I told you this would happen if you gave them chocolate before we got on the motorway." "Do you trust me?" Finn asks. So the fact that I rode back to his house on the back of his Honda Shadow after I'd watched him down 4 brain hemorrhages, didn't already tell him that I did. "Yes." "Then what's the problem?" We're in his little sister's bed. She is 4 years younger and away with his parents. She got the bigger bed because their dad always gives Amy what she wants. Finn and I have been drinking since lunchtime when we both got the little pieces of paper telling us that we each had 4 A's. In 2 weeks, he's going to Oxford. Nothing, I guess. He kisses my lips, my chest, my belly. Then he plunges 3 fingers inside me without warning, stinging. He's supposed to come see me when I get to Bristol a month later. I wait on the arrivals platform at Temple Meads for 2 hours. Then I get the phone call. Here's the thing, I'm so busy down here, and it's not like, I say, and hang up on him mid-sentence. It is rapidly becoming clear that Jamie has never 69'd anyone before. We are the wrong way round, and I have pubic hair up my nose. The rabbit from the Donnie Darko poster above my bed is staring at me, and I suddenly realise that I have forgotten to close my bedroom curtains. We would be giving the whole campus a peep show if we weren't 4 stories up. Jamie shifts, and I'm almost choking on his cock. Maybe he likes it that way. He doesn't have to see my face, so he can pretend I'm Emily. Emily is 3 inches taller than me, and her waist is probably 3 inches thinner too. Jamie has been in love with Emily since our first term Chaucer class. But she's had a rich boyfriend just as long. So he's been stuck muddling through old English terms with me for nearly a year. Leetan, gehirnes, yefeliam. Jamie can't come, and I'm getting drier by the second, so he gives up and resigns himself to missionary. We find an out-of-date condom in my bedside drawer, but I let him use it anyway. "Happy birthday," I say as I kiss him goodbye at my bedroom door afterwards. "Yeah, thanks." He steps back to avoid my lips. I watch him slouch away as I slam the door shut, not worrying that he'll wake up Katie and Raj, whose rooms are either side of mine. I know that Katie will be knocking on my door in a few hours anyway, with the regulation hangover bagels and flavoured coffee, asking me how my night was after we left her gyrating against a greasy-faced third year in the sticky-floored club. I will smile and say, "Great! Yeah, me too," she'll gush. 3 weeks later, Raj will lend me his Jeff Buckley CD and give me the number of the clinic his sister used. A tear cam. You're just here for central heating purposes, you understand. I smile as Dan wraps his arms around me, the whipped cream thick Berlin snow settling outside my apartment window. It's the same colour as my expensive new white bed linen that I purchased specially at Galeria Kaufhof that morning. Of course. He kisses me, and then his head disappears below the duvet. I make a noise loud enough for the French couple next door to bang on the window. Something doesn't feel right. Oh, Jesus, he says, pulling up suddenly, his voice thick and mucusy sounding. What? There is something hot trickling down my thighs. I'm having a nosebleed? What? I leap up, blood caked and butt naked. My new bedding is ruined. I throw the sheets in the washing machine and run to the shower. He comes into the bathroom and begins packing toilet tissue up his nose. I can't stop laughing. It's not fucking funny. When the bleeding has stopped, we sit on the naked bed, wrapped in towels, drinking tea. Well, it's a good dinner party story. It's the kind of thing we'd say in interviews or one of those MTV late night confession things if we ever got famous. What would we be famous for? You'd be a writer. I'd be a rock star. Most rock stars have made it by the time they're 25, I said. Fuck you. I'm laughing, but Dan isn't. I feel between his legs and massage until he's ready. When I go down, pursing my lips around his cock, he tugs too tightly on my hair. It doesn't let go, jerking my head back down when I try to pull away. Fuck you, he whispers as he comes in my mouth, one hand forming a fist in my hair, another pressed down on my neck, forcing me to swallow. The apartment's previous owner left behind a bottle of grenadine, and Katie sent me a bottle of Russian vodka for my birthday. When Dan is asleep, I make myself a brain hemorrhage. Then another. Takes four to make the taste go away. Wasn't rape, my mother said. Michael is married. Michael's never told me about his wife, but I've seen the picture of a beautiful woman, probably about 35, in his wallet. She's wearing a hospital gown and has a squashed-looking baby in a blue knit cap asleep on her chest. I found her name, too. She's a journalist. She is smart. She always gets her story. Michael and I fuck bent over an antique desk in his office at my publisher's legal department. We are supposed to be discussing the remainder clause in my contract. This is the fourth time this has happened. I really care about remaindering. When we are done, and I'm fastening his tie for him, he tells me I'm beautiful. I laugh. Why isn't a woman like you married? Because I'm not the kind of woman you think I am. Yes, you are. You could do anything, he insists in a way that makes me slightly queasy, like he's afraid I won't come back if he doesn't flatter me excessively. You could be the queen of the world if you wanted, he continues. A rock star. I laugh at the way his sweaty fingers can't quite let go of my arm. The glint of something sharp in his eyes, like a caged animal that knows it will never escape. I'm still laughing as I walk away, crisp autumn air filling my lungs with something like victory. Maybe this is a battle I've won. Sieg, Niemann.